Tumba's eye, they've hit the target. Can you believe it? Lumumba charges at the goal. He's got it.
Here's the flood. Bruce.
Oh, you beauty. He went up and away.
Look at the puppy.
Jones, the skipper, swings around and kicks another one for the Demons. Pumps the fist.
On Hungry for Sport, with the most comprehensive wrap of the AFL round, here's the team at afl.com.au.
And Peter Ryan joins us from afl.com.au. G'day, Pete.
Morning, KB.
Pete, run us through some of the injuries on the weekend, because there was a couple of nasty ones.
Yeah, it wasn't sort of, we had a bit of a lull last week, but then back into it this week. Obviously, concussions, there were quite a few of them, which we never know whether they're going to come up the next week, but they're pretty important players. Tom Rockcliffe copped a nasty one when he bumped into Stephen May up there on the Gold Coast. We've got Michael Walters, who's doubtful for next week. Fremantle play Essendon, and also Matthew Pavlich. Both of those players were subbed out of the game or out of the game from halftime yesterday. Christian Salem's also got concussion, so no good there. So they're some of the basic ones. There's also Lockie Henderson did a hamstring. Now, he's still 50-50 for this week. Spoke to the club this morning. He had scans on Saturday, so he'll find out today the severity of that.
What stage of the game did he do his hamstring? Because Lockie Henderson had no impact on that game whatsoever. I think he may have only had, you know, one touch or one tackle.
I think he had a bit of Derek Shaw stats.
No impact whatsoever.
No. And I think he did it in the first quarter, to be honest. But he didn't get subbed out of the game until the third quarter. So as you know, KB, sometimes when they feel it, they just try and keep going on. But, you're absolutely right. No impact whatsoever, and was almost a liability at some points. And he's a great, much better player than what he performed on Friday night. The other interesting one, two interesting ones, really. James Kelly, which is an unusual injury, a ruptured testicle when he landed heavily on the ground against Richmond. A pretty serious, and, you know, there would have been a few intakes of breath from most people who heard that injury. They're not putting a time frame on as to when he might return, but it could be anything from 3 to 6 weeks. He had surgery on Saturday night. Apparently he's recovered well. I read an article from John Ralph this morning who said that Richard Douglas from Adelaide came back in to play after 22 days when he had that injury a couple of years back. But Geelong, it's too early to tell. One thing out of that is that Steve Hocking, the footy manager, actually ruptured his testicle in the 1989 grand final, believe it or not. So he'll know what James Kelly's going through.
And when Richard Douglas came back and played, I think he played with a protector, a cricket protector.
Yeah,
at the same
time,
so maybe that's something. I'm certain, with such an unusual injury, that Richard Douglas or James Kelly will get in contact with each other just to see, you know, the best way, go about it when he comes back.
Yeah, no just doubt. It's obviously, long term, that's one of those injuries you really want to be careful about. The other one's Rory Sloane, who was subbed out of the game in the showdown yesterday. Obviously an important player for Adelaide. He's got a calf injury, but I spoke to the club this morning and they're current assessment is that it's not that serious. He'll definitely be listed as a test this week, but they hope he'll be right to play against the Gold Coast.
Pete, also on the weekend we had a few really good players pull out before games. Sam Reed was out. Isaac Heaney's another one who was out because we saw Nick Riewoldt sitting in the coach's box. Jared Waite was another one who was a late withdrawal for North Melbourne. What's their situation?
Yeah, well, Jared Waite, Brad Scott spoke after the game and said that he could have, potentially Waite could have played if the game was played on the Sunday. Now, that might be a little bit optimistic, but they'd be really confident he'd be up for this week. Nick Riewoldt's been out for a while now, spoke to the club again. They say he's a chance to play. He'll be tested later in the week to see if he comes up against the Western Bulldogs. Obviously, he'll be keen to get back. Sam Reed just had a little bit of tightness in the calf at training late in the week, so they withdrew him from the game against the Bulldogs. They expect him to play. And similarly with Heaney, who hurt his ankle the week before, they also expect him to play. So that's good news, a few of those players coming back into the competition.
All those injuries we've been talking about is all thanks to the Epworth Hospital. Epworth is better. What about the match review panel, the tribunal? Of course, these are the players in hot water for Cromagin, Melbourne's number one solar hot water supplier to the building trade, and a couple of big names, Luke Hodge, Jordan Lewis, first up.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? This will be a heavy focus today from everyone to see what the MRP comes up with. I mean, Luke Hodge, I'd be interested in your views, but if we go by the letter of the new MRP interpretations. We'd have to say it was intentional and high. The question is whether it's medium or high impact. My take on it is that it's medium impact, and that would be 3 weeks. And if he pleads guilty, that goes down to 2. If it's rated as high impact, which could be debatable, obviously that'll be the conversation they'll be having, then it goes straight to the tribunal. Interested in your view on that.
I would have thought medium.
Yeah, I'd say that's a reasonable thing. But
I thought both players would get 3 weeks, and then, of course, if they do the plea, they can get it down to 2 weeks. Is that your thoughts on Jordan Lewis?
Goldstein? Yeah, I agree. So he's high impact and high contact, and then I'd say it's careless rather than intentional, but again, debatable. I think it's 3 down to 2.
What's the situation with Tommy Rockliffe and Stephen May, that incident?
Yeah, it was interesting, wasn't it? Well, the head clashes can be accidental now. May was obviously trying to protect the ball and copped Rockliffe in the head. Obviously, we saw the repercussions of that. But I think now they've changed the rules to may be considered foreseeable rather than a definite weak out if you have a head clash. So I think that it would be rated as an accident, and I think he'd be unlucky to actually incur a suspension.
Do you reckon it was a head clash? You don't think it was the top of the shoulder that got him in the head?
Probably the top of the shoulder, you're right, but I still think that it wasn't. He elected to bump, and that's a fair point, but I still think he'd be unlucky given that he's just copped him in the head.
See, I like the old rule. I like it if you elect a bump, then you're going to be responsible for what takes place. And under the old rule, I mean, if he wanted to bump Tommy Rockliffe, well then, and he hits him in the head, well then he's going to be responsible for it. I know there's a bit of massaging of that now, so I'm not quite certain how that is going to go. But it does appear to me. I wouldn't have thought it was a head clash. I would have thought he's caught him with the top of his shoulder.
Yeah, well, fair enough, actually. I mean, if you take it that it is the shoulder, then your interpretation's probably right, because we do want to eliminate head injuries and obviously head knocks from the game. I'm with you 100% on that. I thought on my initial viewing that it was more of a head, but if the shoulder's right, then he may get a week for that.
What about a couple of lower-profile incidents? Taylor Giray hit Andrew Swallow in the stomach.
Yep.
What do you make of that one?
Well, it was a breadbasket. It's interesting. They might have had a, target the captain sort of approach there at first quarter at Hawthorn, because was Swallow that copped it. I would have thought it was insufficient force. I reckon potentially it's either medium force or insufficient. So that'll be whether it is a fine or whether he actually receives.
So it's intentional and it's low, and then force is a question mark.
Force is the question mark, but I think he's either facing a fine or he's all clear.
Now, what about, I saw one, I was watching the replay with Alex Rance, and Joel Selwood is on his haunches. He'd been involved in a couple of passages of play, and there was the whistle had gone, and he was on his haunches getting his breath, and then Alex Rance has picked up the ball and has slammed it into his face.
Yeah.
I didn't like that look, to be quite honest.
I shouldn't laugh, because I agree.
I didn't like that look.
Joel Selwood wasn't expected. It's just not good for the game. It reminds me, you'd probably remember this better than me, KB. Wasn't there a trainer back in the Carlton Richmond game that ran up and picked up the ball and shoved it in the player's face?
Yes, Mike Patterson was the Richmond ruckman.
That's right.
I think it was the St Kilda trainer who shoved the ball in his face. But this was
on
the ground and was with considerable force. So I'd be... be interesting to see how the match review panel looks at that, because if that had been just a fist, you'd be saying, well, he just struck him and that was intentional. What he did was certainly intentional, but he had the ball in between him and his hand, but it was still good force.
Yeah, I don't think it's good at all. I mean, the players, that's just part of the, spirit of the game, isn't it? That you don't pick up a ball and shove it in your opponent's face. I would think a fine's appropriate, just to let everyone know, including Alex Rance, just don't do that sort of stuff when you're getting up from a stoppage. It's not cool, it's not appropriate. And Joel Selwood's reaction, he's one of the toughest players in the game. He thought it was pretty ordinary. Made it clear when he was coming onto the ground at three-quarter time what he thought of it. And I just don't think it's necessary.
Pete, always great to catch up. Thanks for joining us today.